Nearly one in four kids lives in poverty in Michigan. Over the past year, we've been looking at what it takes to make Michigan a place where those kids can get ahead. But part of that examination has to take place in the face of equity. Are things equal for all kids, and does it matter? We want to hear from you. Have your experiences led you to believe that everyone has an equal shot at achieving the American dream, or does inequity exist? Call us at 866-255-2762, or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for State of Opportunity. You can also send us a tweet at State of Op. That's with two P's. Joining us now is Doak Bloss, Health Equity and Social Justice Coordinator at the Ingham County Health Department. Doak, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
In our State of Opportunity project, we talk a lot about disparities that exist for children in low-income families. But what's the difference between disparity and inequity?
Well, basically, if you think of disparity being a difference in a statistic, basically, between one population and another, let's say infant mortality, for example, or rates of cancer, rates of diabetes, for a population like African Americans is much higher in my county and across Michigan than it is for white people. So if you just look at the disparity, basically you're saying there's a difference, and you're not really exploring the reasons why that exists, difference exists. Equity and inequity basically asks us to try to figure out what underlying conditions are creating that problem. One way to think of it is if you imagine two people on separate ladders trying to get somewhere, and one is doing better than the other, one is higher up. But then you look at the ladder and you notice that that person's rungs has a lot more rungs, has a lot more, it's easier to climb the ladder. For the person on the other side, it's very difficult. In fact, sometimes you have to hang on for dear life to just stay on the ladder and can't get ahead. That's inequity, and those are the things that we try to deal with in our work.
I think when people think about inequity, sometimes they think about it in the same grouping as discrimination, but those are different things.
Yes. Discrimination, they're related, certainly. Discrimination would be treatment of someone either at the interpersonal level or the institutional level, treating someone as less than. If it were at the interpersonal level, I might in subtle ways or unconscious ways, I might act in a way that was diminishing to, let's say, if we're talking about gender, to a woman or in race, a person of color, as a white person, I might treat them in some way that was, diminishing in some way. Can't think of the right word exactly, but at the institutional level, when that becomes a practice of an organization to do that, or it becomes there are unwritten policies that actually influence who gets ahead and who doesn't, that's also a form of discrimination.
We're working through these definitions. Can you give us a concrete example of how inequity could play out in a structure?
Well, let's say we operate health centers, right? We also operate a lot of clinics for WIC and other types of programs. Let's just imagine a simple example of, let's say a person at the front office opens their window all the way for a white person who comes to the window, but only like a few inches for an African-American, which sends a message that they're not trusted in some way. And that would be an interpersonal thing unless that's sanctioned by the organization, then it's an institutional type of treating as less than. And I have to say, I mean, we're going to get to privilege in just a minute. It's hard not to go there right away. As a person who's white and male, you know, I don't see all the ways in which I am given privileges in my daily life. An African American walking beside me through my day would probably see 12 instances of it automatically. Things that come to me automatically because I'm white and male that wouldn't come to a person of color or a woman.
Well, since we're there, let's go on and talk about privilege, because that is part of this discussion, and you've done a lot of work around what you call unearned privilege. Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's basically an advantage that's given to a person based on one aspect of their identity. And it could be any number of things. In fact, I would say probably all in our lifetime experience unearned privilege, but we don't see it because we just assume that what the conditions for us are the same for everybody else. So based on race, based on gender, on socioeconomic status or class, sexual orientation, age, youth, language of origin, all of these things could be an area where one might experience unearned privileges if they're in what we call the non-target group status. So a white person or a man or a heterosexual or a person whose first language is English. And we don't see them because it's just the world we live in. If you don't get those privileges, then you see them very easily. For instance, as a gay man, I will see, you know, the privileges that heterosexuals will receive automatically because I just see it, you know, all the things that come to a heterosexual that don't to me. But as a white person, I have to work to see it. You know, I have to work to realize that, oh, I'm not being followed in the store because of the color of my skin. You know, why would I be?
But what you're describing is something very fluid.
Exactly.
Everyone can experience a degree of privilege.
And in the workshops we do, that's an important concept to get to, which is because generally it's very easy to see where you are oppressed or you're discriminated against in some way or prejudice is applied against you. It's not so easy to see where you have privilege. So if we look across many different types of those and how they intersect with each other, then it becomes possible to see, oh, I even though I worked really hard all my life, I realize now that someone else who's different from me would have had to work 10 times harder to get to the same place. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Doug Bloss, Health Equity and Social Justice Coordinator at the Ingham County Health Department. Let's take a call from Patrick in Holland. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I went to public schools in West Michigan, and I was raised by an upper-class family and had the opportunity to attend an Ivy League university. And I very much believe that having that opportunity was a result of the support and coaching I received from my parents, and certainly the money was a big part as well. But I do think that the encouragement and just knowing about these types of places is a real advantage that maybe some people might not consider.
Patrick, were you always aware that you had certain advantages, or did that awareness come at a later point in life?
No, I was pretty much immediately aware as a young child.
And how does that affect, do you have conversations with other people in your life where you have that sort of knowledge about yourself, but you find that other people don't see it quite as clearly?
I do think that it helps me understand people around me and to understand why a bright student would not go to a similar institution, some of the people in lower socioeconomic environments. You know, if you don't have the people around you to support you and just to even inform you of these opportunities, how can you ever take advantage of them?
Patrick, thanks so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you.
So, Doak, here's someone who sees his mm-hmm. privilege fairly clearly. Mm-hmm. In the sessions you do in Ingham County, do you have that experience often, that people have that kind of visibility of the privilege in their lives?
I have a whole range of experiences. In contrast to Patrick's story, we would have quite often someone who was not doing well off socioeconomically but who was white, who would react immediately on the first day to the notion that they have unearned privilege very negatively because they worked really hard. They had to fight to get where they are. So it's a very hard thing to see in that situation. What I like about Patrick's what he brought out there, that you know, I think there was some recent studies showing that so many people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, regardless of race, don't even think about the possibility of going to places where they might actually have some advantage, get some financial aid. So it's a very difficult thing. And it's why our workshops last 4 days. We have 2 days, then a week off, and then 2 more days. So people think about these things for a while before they come to an understanding of what we're talking about. Hopefully, once they do begin to see their privilege, they can't not see it in the future. And so that can help them empathize and also help them notice when they might be practicing inequity or prejudice in some way in their work.
This is State of Opportunity on Michigan Radio. You can join the conversation at 866-255-2762. You can leave us a question on our State of Opportunity Facebook page or tweet us at State of Op. That's OPP. Doak, I want to get back into this idea of the fluidity of privilege mm-hmm. and how it's attached to equity. Because if we all can experience privilege, how do those two things work together?
One of the most important things about this troubling concept of unearned privilege is that it feels bad when you first realize you may have it. And there isn't really a good reason for why it should feel bad. In fact, we often tell people, you didn't create this situation. You didn't create this. And so you're not responsible for it. You're responsible for acknowledging it, that you get it perhaps. And often people think, well, okay, once I've realized this, what do I do with it? Am I supposed to give it away? You know, and you're always, you can't. I mean, you cannot, as Peggy McIntosh has said more recently, it's like a bank account that you can write as many checks as you want on, and you're still going to have it. So what do you do with it? I mean, one of the biggest revelations for me personally in doing this work a few years ago was I always thought that my job in doing this work was to understand what it's like to be a person of color or a woman, someone who experiences this daily experience of racism or sexism. And then I realized I couldn't. It is absolutely not possible. My work is to figure out what it means to be white, to understand that. And then, once I get there, not give my privilege away, but use it. Because one of these things about working across differences, different types of differences, is if I speak about racism, white people hear me differently from if one of my African-American fellow facilitators speaks about it. It's heard as you're asking for something for yourself, and it's just not heard. If I speak about heterosexism, straight people think of me asking for something for myself. But if my African-American straight colleague talks about it, they hear it very differently. So, I mean, this work has to be about us marching forward together to overcome and recognize this privilege that we have.
So once you have that knowledge, once you go about the work of understanding your position, how do we deal with the issue of inequity if it's so ingrained in the way our society functions? What do we do?
Well, that's often we talk about the bubble in the wallpaper that we keep moving around, the hope that we can actually do something about this, because it feels terribly overwhelming when you first get into it. What can I possibly do about that? At the interpersonal level, we certainly can track what we're doing and what's happening in our minds and our values. And at the institutional level, we can challenge every single policy decision we make. We can question whether this is going to inequitably affect certain members of our community.
You're listening to State of Opportunity on Michigan Radio. Doug Bloss is Health Equity and Social Justice Coordinator at the Ingham County Health Department. Doug, thanks for joining us.